You see these file folders? The ones with your names on them? Can you guess what's in these file folders? I'll give you a hint. Discipline reports. Lots of them. And some wonderful artwork as well. This is...
Spider with human head?
Wolfman's got cards. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. Yeah, Wolfman's got cards. We'll get to that in a minute. It's episode 265 of Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today is Brian River Monster-like Twinkie Dunaway.
River Monster. Oh, hi. I understand you guys would like to join the Movie Squad. What is the Movie Squad, you didn't ask? It's a club formed to fight the evils of the ruiners of our childhoods, a.k.a. jerks like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. All right. To join Movie Squad, you just have to tell me the two ways to kill George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. Let's start with Lucas. How would you slay him? Go ahead, anybody. Scott?
Poke him in the eye with a hot poker.
Poke him in the waddle.
Poke him in the waddle.
I would beat him in the back of the head with a rubber sexual aid.
Whoa.
Nice. All right. The things I had was shrink his turtlenecks in the dryer and watch it slowly strangle him until his head falls off.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a good one.
And then alternately, shove a Jar Jar Binks up his anus hole until his head falls off. So
Why is George Lucas's head falling off always part of this?
That's what happens. All right. Now on to Spielberg. All right, you guys, go ahead. Do you have any guesses
I would force feed him Reese's Pieces until he couldn't stand it.
I like it.
I'd shove a walkie-talkie up his butt.
Perfect.
Oh, that's good. Good
and
point.
Then I'd pull the trigger until it went click.
Right?
I would make him carve mashed potatoes into the side of a cliff until he killed himself.
Okay.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, wow. The invasion, the third kind, the kind that, yeah. All right, you know what? This is the two things I wrote down. Shoot him in the face with your flashlight or keys. Nah, I'm just kidding. That didn't work in E.T. and ain't going to work here. Just use a freaking gun. All right. Two, use chapter select to infinite repeat one of the 12 endings in AI until his head explodes.
Okay.
Like a great white with an oxygen tank in his mask. Happy Halloween. Also, Wolfman's Got Nards is my Pornhub username. Don't look that up, kids.
And what an episode. We're out of time. Love you guys.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. That was awesome. We had an interactive one, too. That was pretty good. Also with us, Randy, I know you are, but what am I, Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hello.
Randy.
I have to get straight into it on this week's film. We have somehow found the only Halloween movie ever made where the monsters, who are the real Wolfman and the real Mummy and Dracula and all the rest, don't even once fall in with trick-or-treaters on Halloween so that then no one believes that they're real monsters. What are you doing to me, movie?
Yeah.
Movie.
Well said.
Movie.
Damn it, movie. What are you doing? Also with us, Brian, like Goonies without the personality. Direct quote, Ibbot.
Saint Mom.
That's right. Happy Halloween. This week I watched a delightful and hilarious film about a few clever individuals who take it upon themselves to rid their town of the supernatural beings that nobody else believes in. They even have business cards. And then when Ghostbusters was over, I watched Monster Squad. Gee, I wonder if the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man has nards.
Oh, all right, I bet they're all soft and gooey.
Since everybody made references to the nards, I just need to play this Fletcher thing one more time. So he says this.
Wolfman's got cards.
Now, what I think happened was I sent him an email with all of the quotes and the stuff we could choose from in the introduction. And I think he thought
I think he thought we
because I checked it and it did indeed say nards.
Oh, okay.
But I think he thought we meant cards. That it was
that surely he's seen this movie. Surely he's heard that term. If this movie came out today, everybody will be wearing a shirt that says Wolfman Got Nards.
Well, let's see. Wolfman.
Right. I hadn't seen this movie before, and I even knew that quote.
Let's see.
Right.
Oh, you know what? Oh. I take it back. We owe Iceworm, who sends me these quotes in the first place, to send to Fletcher. We owe him some consternation. He wrote Wolfman's Got Cards.
So the ice worm typo,
it rears its head in the least awesome way possible.
I want to know if Fletcher knew, though. He's like, these dumbasses, I'm going to read it just like this.
Yeah, right. That's no good. Well, anyway, it's fine. It's Nards, so everyone knows ahead of time. And the movie is The Monster Squad. I always thought it was just Monster Squad, but it's The Monster Squad with a V in front. And I'll let Fletcher explain more about what this film is.
The Monster Squad. Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, the Mummy, and Gillman descend on a tiny town in search of a diabolically powerful amulet. But only 12-year-old Sean and his gang of monster-obsessed misfits can save the day in this overlooked 1987 horror comedy.
Oh, yeah, it's overlooked all right.
So can they not say Gilman, or can they not say Creature from the Black Lagoon, because technically he's not coming from a black lagoon?
Yeah, I don't think they have the rights either.
Universal monsters, aren't they?
Are they? I don't know.
Of all of them, I was thinking of him as Swamp Thing, and of all of them, Swamp Thing is probably the most recent creation.
I should look back and look, but he is. I think Gillman is a really stupid name for him, though.
Yes. Yeah, and everybody knows who he is, and so people.
What's his power?
Yeah, well, right. Gillman.
Well, and I want to go around the table already. What monster from the B team did you feel like just missed the cut?
Good question. Everyone?
Huh? The Bride of Frankenstein.
The Bride of Frankenstein is a good one. Well, the Invisible Man is almost A team, but he wasn't here, and he's a universal monster.
Yeah, good point. Who else is there?
Yeah, but he's not a monster, is the thing. He's just a
invisible. Isn't he,
he's an invisible dude.
He's just an invisible dude that's kind of angry and, you know, is this, like, almost a serial killer.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is kind of a monster,
right.
I suppose.
Right. That makes sense, because he did send out, Dracula sent out Frankenstein because he was the closest to humanoid that he had in his gang to go approach the kids. So you're probably right.
That's a good point. By the way, that was that actor, the guy that played the, they called him Frankenstein, but the Frankenstein's monster, which is more correct. He was that creepy dude from all these movies we've seen, including RoboCop 3, the guy that had the nuke, and made the drug called Nuke, and he was that tall, skinny, weird-looking dude that always looks
Tom,
like he's...
Tom Noonan.
That's the one.
Oh, Tom... No, yeah, right. He was the bad guy at the beginning of Last Action Hero.
And this is no offense to him, but if you have a list in Hollywood of all, so everyone's always prepared. Let's see, we have a TV show or a movie that's got a molester in it. Who can we call?
I know, right?
That guy is who you call.
Never gonna play the lead in a romantic comedy.
No.
Are you sure?
But he's one of these people that, like, I'm absolutely sure if you meet him at a convention, you'll be like, oh wow, what a nice guy.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure he's the nicest guy in the world.
All those guys are. All the bad guys, evil guys, weird looking guys in Hollywood, they all have this reputation for being just the sweetest people.
Did you guys watch The Blacklist?
No. I've seen one episode and meant to keep going but got tied up in something else. But I want to.
He was the stew maker in that, and he is, that's some good stuff.
Stew maker? Explain.
He like chops his victims up and puts them in, like melts them down, basically.
Ooh. See, that seems like a thing they'd hire him for.
Yeah.
Right?
Who do we get? Tom Noonan. That's silly. Why are we even asking that question? Why are we even holding a casting call?
Yeah, call Central Casting. Tell him to knock it off. Tom Noonan's available. We got who we need.
You'd like a Blacklist recently because Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, is in it.
How does he? Who does he play? He doesn't play Pee Wee.
No. He plays a very twisted and weird bad guy.
All right.
Right. And he's also going to be the dad. He's going to be the dad in another show. Who was it? Rubens. I forget. He was going to be in something. He was just got announced for being.
Really? He's a dad in something?
He's dad. Going to be in Batman or Gotham.
Yeah, Gotham. He's going to be the Penguin's dad. And I was like,
right, which
perfect.
He was in the movie.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
He was in Batman Returns. Yeah.
Right. That's kind of cool. Yeah. Except I didn't like that movie, but that's cool that they worked that in there.
Hopefully they can get the woman who played Simone, who played Mrs. Penguin's mom, to reprise her role as well.
Paul Rubens, or as I like to call him, guy who missed the internet porn revolution by barely.
Second.
The last man to not make it onto the trial.
Exactly.
to the chopper.
Fred Dekker directed this film. It was written by Shane Black, Fred Drecker together there. Fred Drecker, by the way, known for all kinds of stuff, but these two, Shane Black and Fred Drecker, working currently on the pilot for this book I've been reading called Edge. It's this Western, this revenge Western that's being made for Amazon, I think, or some, right. Somebody's doing some original programming, and I forget who's doing it, but anyway. Oh, no, FX. Is it FX? Whatever. Anyway,
thanks, Scott.
It's wow. Nice to see. I mean, I've really filled people with some good information, but it's an awesome series.
Scott
super
Johnson,
spaghetti Western.
Fact checker also for the Republican debates.
That's right. Wolfman's got cards. So anyway,
I think the most important person in this movie by far has to be Stan Winston.
Oh yeah, he's the Wolfman, yeah. Right?
Or, no, he's the creator. He's the makeup guy. He's the one who makes all these monsters look and. Fantastic.
And at the risk of only having one thing to say about the movie, it's so uneven from beginning to end. It's so uneven. It starts out like a TV high school comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it moves into different places and it ends in a place where I never thought it would. And I can
with
extend
Satan's anus sucking everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can I love you too, creature of Dr. Frankenstein's yeah. Monster.
Yeah,
anyway,
that was bad.
But it's so uneven. It's probably the most uneven movie I've seen in a very long time. Mm. And that extends to Stan Winston's work. I'm sorry to
think that Stan Winston did not bring his A game here or not consistent.
Maybe I've been watching too much Face Off, but I felt like there was an understudy responsible for a couple of the creatures. Mm. You know? Oh,
man. The Wolfman was the least.
Wolfman.
Yeah, Wolfman was pretty bad.
I'm gonna cross my arms and go, like, who, Randy?
Well, listen, the Wolfman was pretty not great, I thought.
Not great.
You thought the Wolfman was not
it was
great?
It was a little stiff, and maybe that's all we could do then, and I've forgotten, but it just came off as weird.
And I'm giving lots of excuses, like, Frankenstein's monster, Tom Noonan, had to be durable because the character had to appear and walk around and interact with people and like be seen a lot. So that had to be a really durable makeup. I get it. But it just wasn't good. I'm just like, eh.
I think in 86, this is the best you're going to see. I think it's fantastic. I think what Stan Winston did in this, I think, is
you're,
amazing.
You're absolutely right. The technology of prosthetics and makeups has really gone uphill in the last like 20 years, and this predates that.
Sure. And the reason I thought Stan Winston was the Wolfman is there's some reference in the trivia to them making the mask based on his face.
Yeah, it is. He is the Wolfman. Yeah, you're right. In some ways he is.
Yeah,
Wolfman.
He's always the Wolfman in some ways. All right. The uneven, let's just address that for a second. This wants to be, and Brian said it best last night when I was texting him, he said, this is like Goonies without the personality. And I kind of agree. It's supposed to be this kid journey. Interesting that we're coming off a couple of weeks ago of Stand By Me, maybe one of the ultimate coming of age, you know, at least it's thought of as that, movies for a lot of people. And so this seems like one of those attempts to create a supernatural thing around a bunch of kids who are in some kind of club. And, you know, millions of movies do it. Super 8's a great example of a more modern one. But this movie
didn't do it. No. This movie did, like, it made the formation of their club the most boring and weak thing I've ever seen.
It was bad. That part was not handled very deftly. Wow. I think the fat kid being called fat
did
kid
did you guys
just
watch
annoying.
The same movie I did?
Brian,
I'm not saying I didn't have fun. I just want you to understand. I had such fun. I'm just saying that there were times in this movie where I'm like, why are you having a montage and not actually montaging some cool stuff? Right.
The montage, I will concede.
You didn't have the fun that they wanted you to have.
Right. I will concede that the montage scene was interesting as far as what the hell were they thinking. But yeah, I think the rest of it was, I had a lot of fun. I don't see the disconnect.
Okay, when did you see this first? You saw it when you were a kid, right?
No, I didn't see it when I was a kid, actually. I saw it probably during the 90s.
Okay.
I missed this when it came out because I wouldn't go see it because I thought, oh, this is just a pale imitation of the Goonies. I can tell you that because there's the mom from the Goonies, and she's the mom in this.
Yeah.
And so it was a little bit young. It was skewing young for me at when it was released.
I won't tell you what Ibbett called the mom last night, by the way.
Good, no.
I'll save that.
But I watched it during the 90s.
I don't care.
She said, what did you, what was the word? You said she's the
She's the milfy lady who always plays the milfy mom.
The milfy mom.
Milfy mom.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Dunaway. You were saying.
But yeah, I watched it this past week, and I really kind of enjoyed it. I honestly felt like we were afraid to replicate success during the 80s in movies. And so you wouldn't see, if you saw a movie like The Goonies and then you saw something follow up like this, you would go, no, I'm not going to see that. But now, being so many years later, I kind of wish there had been more so that I could go back and look and go, oh, because we had this whole string of movies that were kind of catered towards kids fighting monsters. And this should have blossomed a little bit, kind of like how our superhero movies have just exploded in this generation. I wish this had have exploded a little bit bigger. So I don't
disagree with you. And there were moments like my two favorite moments in it were these, and they happened toward the end. One was getting a thumbs up from the vampire hunter. What's his name?
Yeah.
Van Helsing.
Van Helsing comes out of the butthole, grabs him, and then gives the thumbs up. That was on par with John Voight winking out of the snake. That was fantastic. And then the girl saying goodbye to Frankenstein was kind of terrible. But then when he got sucked up into the hole, she tossed her teddy bear to him.
Right.
Which made
and
no
sense. He caught it. Yeah. And he went slowly back through the.
Yeah. It was the whole thing there was so just ridiculous that I enjoyed the hell out of all of that. However.
Can you imagine being 12 in this movie?
No, it would have been great. I mean, it would have been great. You're not wrong about that. But the unevenness is where Randy and I are going to completely agree on today's episode. There is a problem with tone and consistency that took me out of it a bunch of times. It was just like, I want to see this story. I want to see these kids do what they're going to do. And I want to see what these monsters do in return. And I liked the idea that one of them basically become an ally. And that felt natural because Frankenstein's monster is the big misunderstood, you know, grunting thing that is just innocent. And we've turned him into this monster kind of thing. So all of those things kind of work, but it just felt like five different movies. They never quite knew what they wanted to do, and it kept shifting around. Either go whole hog on the supernatural bullshit, or go whole hog on being bratty kids forming a group. The bully resolution never felt right. Like there's just
why was Wayne from the Wonder Years in the very first scene, and that's that.
They hired his hair. He only got residuals, so his hair was what got hired. My gosh, that hair on that kid.
I really
it's George Michael hair, right?
I had the same hair when I was in junior high, so I can't complain. Right.
I did not have that hair.
This movie got overproduced because what happened was I've read this before. The producers required that the movie be under an hour and a half. Yeah. And I think that's probably where Fred Drecker, the director, kind of failed to negotiate that and to get it, get the artistic vision across. And so, yeah, I think there was definitely, if you're seeing inconsistencies, it's probably the things that we're kind of having to fill in for ourselves because they were left because the producers just said no, under an hour and a half. Why? I guess because they're selling to kids, maybe?
Maybe.
Is that the reason why?
Maybe. I mean, this is definitely one of those movies, though, that was firmly in the PG-13 area and was pretty violent for some of it. I could see this being pretty harrowing for a 12-year-old.
Why did the movie have so much cursing?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that was par for the course of the time.
Was it, though?
Mid-80s.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Right. We've watched movies in the same time period. The Goonies, Stand By Me, all that stuff. Adult language for kids.
But it felt like they were like 14, 15 in those movies. These were like kids in elementary school still. The older kid is in junior freaking high. Like, what was his name? Rudy or whatever?
But I get where you insert cursing to draw this bright line between the fact that this is a bunch of kids versus the parents are even remotely involved. Mm-hmm. I get that. And I think it's totally like common. There's almost a trope there about using cursing to establish the kids as the heroes. Mm-hmm. But this movie just has it just sprinkled everywhere. Just whatever. Oh, they're just going to, some kid's going to say the word shit for no good reason right here.
Let me ask you this. I want to know from around the table. As kids, do you guys remember back when you were 12, 13? Do you remember using a lot of profanity when in absence of adults?
No, not at that age. I probably, you had to get me up to 14, 15 before I started thinking.
Really? Not us. Yeah. I remember coming home I remember coming home from school and I had a whole notebook, and I was in middle school, and I had a whole notebook of curse words that me and a friend of mine sat down in the bus and went through every bad word that we knew and wrote them down. My stepfather found it later and made me repeat them, and it was very embarrassing and very traumatic. But the point is,
how small was this notebook? I mean, how many words did you know that
I knew it? I feel that.
Did you invent new ones? Man.
I invented new ones. I said all of them. I might repeat it a few.
Combinations too, right?
Compound, like, yeah, right? Like taint sandwich or something like that.
Taint sandwich. So wait though. Did when he had you do this, sit down and read them all to you? Was that akin to the, you know, when a parent finds you with a pack of cigarettes, yeah, and he's like, makes you smoke until you throw up? Is it like that?
Exactly. That's exactly.
Say
what
the F word until you puke, son.
Say the F word until you puke, baby. That's right. Exactly what I was doing. Right. And so you guys, Ibit, how about you? Was profanity?
It never really was. No, and it's funny because I was not, I never really considered myself to be straight-laced, but for whatever reason, I didn't start swearing until much, much older.
Yeah, same here. There was a time in high school where, you guys aren't going to believe this, but I'll tell you anyway. Where you would find me at an arcade dropping the F-bomb like a sailor.
Sure. Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'd never get that from your live playing sessions on Twitch.
Yeah, but I never dropped the F. For some reason, the kids knocked the F out of my mouth. I don't know what happened there. When I had kids, it changed it. But when I get... So now it's just shit, constant shit. That's my word. That's my stand-in. It works for everything as far as I'm concerned.
I hope somebody recorded that.
I do it all the time. And
stay back.
That's the thing, is that if you use, the less you use profanity, the more of an impact it makes when you do drop an F-bomb.
Right.
You know, and I don't choose, you know, it's not like I say, I'm not going to use it because I'm going to wait for the perfect time to drop an F-bomb.
Oh, I'm saving that F-bomb, baby.
But I do, you know, like for comedic effect, me dropping an F-bomb at an inappropriate time, I find hilarious.
Oh yeah, but see, you're getting us back to our point. Did this movie forgot that? That's a good principle to have for your film. If you're going to punctuating is one thing. But having it every other minute it ruins the effect.
Yeah,
right. And so it was almost like each scene was written and directed by a different person who wasn't aware of what had happened in all the other scenes. Like that's really how I felt about this movie. And a lot of the scenes really brought me in and made me happy and made me smile and so forth. But, you know, when it never managed to establish that this one character did this one thing, although they kind of got the fat kid trope, but let's face it, that's easy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And really, all they have to do is be fat and loud and obnoxious and funny, but really the jokes are
mug for
fat.
The camera all the time.
Who was the fat kid here? I was the fat kid.
Oh, really? No, I was super skinny when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was a bone ray. I looked like Will Wheaton in Stand By Me. That's how I was.
Interesting. I look more like a fat kid.
Yeah. Well,
Stand By Me.
But what? Why wasn't his name like Chuckles or Bumble or something else? Why is it Fat Kid?
No, it was Horace.
Oh, yeah, but why did they nickname him Fat Kid?
Right.
Because he was the fat kid trope. It was just, it's like calling the dog dog. I mean, it's just.
Well, yeah, but it's not clever. It's not clever or funny. Like, hey, fat kid.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny when they were asking him, hey, fat kid, why are you fat? That made me kind of.
when Arnold's older brother?
And that was pretty fun. And then, you know, they made Arnold's older brother pick up the candy bar off the ground. Now, you guys, okay. All they did was they ground and pounded that bar into the dirt. I would eat that. That would not be gross.
It would be gross if somebody's foot had been on it, because that foot's been through dog
shoe.
Poo.
What else is the bottom of your shoe?
But
then
it wouldn't be.
That scene again. It set me up for a totally different movie that never happened.
Completely agree. Completely agree. It's tonally all over the map. And Brian's probably right. Give it more time. You could have fleshed all that out. You know, you could have gotten that storyline so it didn't end with quote unquote fat kid out in front of the store and bully not letting him in, and then him winning, and then him complimenting him, and him saying F off or
whatever. Nice job, fat kid. My name's Horace.
That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. No, it didn't resolve anything.
No payoff.
By the way, that poor kid who played Fat Kid, he lived only another 10 years. He died at 22 of complications from viral pneumonia in Las Vegas.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that sucks.
Which means he touched something in Las Vegas.
He went to Vegas.
He brushed up against something.
No, he probably inhaled something. Like, that's the worst. Yeah. When you go to places that are dirty, you know, wash your hands, don't touch your eyes after you touch the surfaces, that sort of thing. Like, everybody gets into these germaphobe habits, but what if it's you just have to breathe to get sick? Yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. So, yeah, I don't know. On the whole, just as, you know, because we're talking about the movie in this regard, I don't know. I wanted something else, and I'm okay with scrappy kids doing cool stuff in supernatural settings. It just didn't come together for me, and I wanted it to so bad because I had never seen it. Oh, this is my first time, by the way, so I assume that's true for you.
Yeah. Everybody but Dunaway.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just have some rose-colored,
It could be possible because this was, part of my, a little bit of childhood. I was still pretty young when I watched it, and I was still feeling the 80s vibe. I enjoyed it.
Sure. It had that. So the montage you guys talked about, which is, definitely in there and has this. It had some really great music, though. Some 80s
agreed.
Montage music in it.
Especially the ending rap song.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
You mean the white man rap song?
I just want to say to those of you who haven't watched the movie, that, like, this is a good time to stop and tell you. You should go ahead and pause the show and watch this movie before you continue, because it's not a bad movie. And when we say we loved the music, we're really, really stretching. Like, it's crazy awful music that you have to love.
Yeah, there's nowhere else to go.
You got to go hear it to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Is probably the most.
You're like the pig in Toy Story 2. You've gone to the channel so far, you may as well just keep going to the other side.
That'll do, Randy.
Yeah, that'll do.
I was doing a lot of 80s spotting during this movie because this movie had probably more popular culture stuff in the actual movie. Goonies is timeless.
Yeah.
They didn't really say, hey, look, I'm wearing a Gotcha surf shirt. I mean, right. But this movie is just filled full of true popular culture of the 80s.
Yeah. Twinkie in the river is one.
Right. The Twinkie in the river. I mean, the Gotcha surf shop shirt that the kids were wearing and there was just the walls were just covered in all kinds of stuff that I had in my room during that age.
What did the main kid's shirt say? Was it, I love Stephen King?
Yeah, I love Stephen King.
Something like that.
King
rules or something, yeah.
Yeah, which I'll bet you money in the writer's room or wherever they decided to have the kid wear that. That seemed like a really subversive, like, Easter eggy thing to put in there. Because it's a horror movie, right? So he's wearing a Stephen King shirt.
Everybody was wearing Wayfarers, or they were wearing Swatches, and they were wearing, Casio and Iron Man watch. Yeah, Ocean Pacific. I mean, God, if you want to take a trip down memory lane from popular culture of the 80s,
To be a white American Midwesterner.
True story.
Yeah. 85, story. I would say 85 to 88 is kind of your zone here. That's what that felt like to me. And I had, there was a part where he was walking around in sunglasses and the big baggy shirt, the one you described, what's it called? The big, not the surf shirt, but the other thing. Anyway, maybe the big striped looking.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. There was tons of those.
Way too baggy, sleeves folded up, looking like Don Johnson on a
JCPenney's or Belk's.
Yeah. That stuff. That is totally how I dressed in 1986.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was, that kid was me, basically.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is unfortunate.
Hey, and everywhere you turned, there was a 1 hour photo.
They were talking about. Remember, they talked about Fox Photos and said, "Oh, they got a deal going right now." And my head went, "Oh, pop!"
Like, yeah, not. And Fox Photo, not nearly the product placement that Pepsi and Burger King had in this.
Those old Burger King bags too.
Yeah,
and you get the feeling the product placement wasn't so clean that you get the feeling they paid anything for it.
Yeah, you know what? That's really funny you say that. I definitely had that impression when he came to the roof with the bags, or when I saw the Twinkie in the river, or any of those things. They were clearly, branded products, but it didn't feel the way they do now, where it's really well lit and placed in a place where you can see it. And
you shouldn't pay anything for that Snickers placement, because
that's anti-Snickers.
Even stomped, it really satisfies.
Yeah. There's some really funny extra kids in the background
of
that scene.
You're not you when you're hungry.
Yeah, that's a good point. Check this out. Director Fred Decker and Shane Black's first draft of the screenplay was so huge that the opening of the film was supposed to feature Van Helsing accompanied by Zeppelins and hundreds of men on horseback storming Dracula's castle.
That would have been awesome.
They decided that was going to cost too much money, so they toned it way, way down. Liam Neeson was almost Dracula, and, and in fact was paid, had some shots done, and then not used, and he
was not a particular set of teeth.
In retrospect, it doesn't really matter who's the monsters. Yeah. Like, this movie lives and dies on the kids and a creepy German dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, creepy German dude.
What a trope there is. All kids think that the old guy foreigner is always.
He's your guy you got to go to for all your help.
That, and you think he's the witch or the monster or the warlock, and then he turns out to be the dude that helps you.
Turns out to be the pie maker there.
That scene, Scott.
It's great. I got a bunch of it. It's good.
Okay.
And when he's saying I do know what it is to be a monster, and he's doing all that.
Yeah.
And then he shut the door and he's got that code on his arm. I got confused. Did that mean
he was a Nazi?
He was a Nazi, or did that mean he was in a Nazi camp and understands what it means to be subjected to monsters? Because they were trying to make a point there.
Right. Oh.
Right. He looked Jewish, if that sounds wrong, I'm sorry. I got the feeling that he was part of the Reich or something. I kind of got that feeling as well.
I did too, but then I thought, well, they're not tattooing the Third Reich. They're tattooing people stuck in camps.
Right,
exactly. So when they showed that scene, I was like, oh, Jewish.
They're not going to have him pull out his wallet and he's got a little 3x5 of Hitler saying, hey, love you. We had great times together.
Yeah, never forget.
That's when it was explained, because, when you saw the number, you're like, oh, okay, he was in the concentration camp.
That guy looked a little Jewish. I'm sorry if that's bad to say. Would you say that was really funny?
And he may be. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was the idea, because if you have a serial number on your arm, you would have been in the camps or something.
You would have been in the camps. Yeah.
That makes sense. Anyway,
but then it doesn't. I don't know. I know what it means to be a monster. I don't know. I was taken aback.
Treated like a monster.
Maybe, okay. I think that's what he meant.
Maybe that's what he. Okay.
Yeah, right. But I agree with you that it was. Vague at best.
It was confusing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they really meant to spend more time on that or try to put this very meaningful little moment in there and have it be poignant, or was I supposed to just not care? That's kind of my problem with the movie. Like, you insert that, and what you automatically do is insert a lot of gravity and a lot of emotion, because your brain immediately goes, oh yeah, the Holocaust, that was bad. There's bad stuff in there. And they were like real life monsters. And, oh yeah. Wait a minute. I'm watching a movie about a Van Helsing who's going to give you the thumbs up before he flies up the anus of Satan.
Such different. And that felt like different people doing two completely different scenes.
Yeah. And that the movie's got a lot of that going on. Okay. Now, we talked about the makeup not being the greatest in Randy's eyes and being okay in Dunaway's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about all that. I like to see how other effects hold up, like green screen stuff and all that. I thought that the morph into the bat from vampire to bat was actually pretty freaking cool.
The one you see in shadow or the...
Both, because the shadow one was clearly like animated, like hand-drawn.
The one in the prostitute plane.
Yes, yes.
The shadow one was a moment when I'm like, oh... You better not resort to trickery and never let me see anything.
Yeah.
But then they went ahead and let me saw things.
I thought that looked really cool when he morphed before he dropped through the plane hatch.
Right, right.
Very unrealistically. Like, it got real dumb immediately, but...
Do cargo plane... First of all, when you talk about jumping around, that's when I felt jerked out of place, when they went... All of a sudden, they cut to the airplane scene. I'm like, why am I in a plane? And why is it lit by red lights? Is that how cargo planes work? I don't think so.
No, I think
they're also dark rooms. You can develop your photos in there.
Yeah, it's Fox Photo. Fox Photo, Air Photo.
It was the Fox film in the back.
But let me, I want to support Scott on this. Early on in the movie, there's a scene where the kid is sitting out on the rooftop with some binoculars looking at the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a straight up matte shot. They have this magnificent painting that they blurred two sections of. One is where the kid and his dad are sitting on the roof, and the other is the movie on the screen at the drive-in.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see a flaw. Yeah. And that just
I couldn't see it.
I thought it looked pretty good.
Unlike the names in the opening credits. which was one of the most flawed things I've ever seen in a movie.
Right, right.
Did you catch that, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Opening credits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I missed it, apparently.
Well, it's just like do you just mean the horrible contrast of the red bloody letters on the
right. So I'm just guessing here that they originally made the credit names way bigger and then they shrunk them so that they look okay.
Yeah,
but right. the light that they shrunk them went with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this hideous red box.
Yeah, it's bad.
Around every name as it appears. And it's just,
it's bad. It's like, if so you guys have, I don't know if you've done this recently. I have, because I was just curious. But I put in an old, I got a VCR converter so I could start converting some old home videos from when I was a kid to digital. And one of the tapes I found was my old bootleg copy of Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
Right.
And I hadn't noticed this so much back in the day. But apparently it's on the DVDs as well, and only the remastered stuff gets rid of it. But you can see that same compositing square thing behind all the ships. So like if a TIE fighter's coming in, you see this little block.
Right, you see a different black.
Yeah, and it's like a block that moves a little bit as it starts coming towards you. Mm-hmm. Still
that's
given.
That's just a process, because you got to put clear acetate with the, you got to put the object on top of it, and of course that.
I'm not decrying it. Yeah. I'm not like, oh, look how cheesy, because obviously these were groundbreaking effects. But it was, what I'm saying is it felt similar to that.
I was just going to say, you have to make the brightness even, right? And you have to set it to whatever's the brightest thing it's going to overlay. And so at the end of these credits in this movie, the names were appearing on a pretty bright shot. And that box disappears for you.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right. And it's just sad to me, because it starts out the whole film with you thinking, wow, okay, so this was made for $35.
Yeah. Well, when these films were 86, we were still new into the idea of releasing movies onto the mass market. So converting something like this might not be a big a deal, especially with Star Wars. When Star Wars was released to the public, I mean, they'd only been shown in theaters, and there's a totally different experience. You don't see all the little blocks and things on.
Do you remember when those tapes, if you bought them, I don't know if you guys remember this, but like in 84 or whatever, you could first get Star Wars on VHS. It was like $80.
It was $80. Yeah. All the VHSs were $80. That's the reason why you didn't want to go to Blockbuster and lose that.
Yeah.
Crap,
I've told you guys how I got my copies of that Empire and Return of the Jedi. I had a friend who was way ahead of his time in bootlegging and got copies of it. But I don't know if I've ever told anyone this. The friend who got us all bootleg copies of that and gave it to all our buddies was the son of the prison warden of the Utah State Prison.
Of course.
Yeah, which is great, right?
Wow.
Yeah, we used to think that was so cool, because he was like, you know, he's the son of the prison warden. It's like finding out that, I don't know, what's it like? It's like...
It's exactly what you expect.
I guess so. I don't know. Like, right under the nose of the most, you know, important law enforcement person in the state is this guy that's just pumping out illegal copies of Star Wars.
It's because it's been the fight that movie and music has been fighting forever, which is trying to get the idea that, you know, reproducing movies is actually hurting somebody, and then it's illegal, you know. And it's to our minds, doesn't seem as illegal sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when you convince yourself that your goal is to preserve and even maybe improve works of art.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big trick, right?
Because
to tie this all together, when I think of my first 100 viewings of episode 4, one of the mistakes artifacts or whatever I always think of is that ridiculous blur under the X-34 land speeder.
Mm.
Oh. And how Lucas went and fixed that.
You actually know the model number?
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought I was a Star Wars nerd. But
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So you remember seeing the film when you were a kid, and you remember that weird, I don't know, I used to think of it as like Vaseline.
So have you taken this into Premiere and fixed it?
No. But someone did at some point in the, you know, about 20 years ago, someone fixed it.
Right.
And then I've seen versions of it that don't have that, and they look crisp and clean and everything.
Mm.
And all I can think is that may have been an improvement, and I may be okay with it. And I may even be okay with it if it was done illegally, is what I'm saying.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Which is
blurred.
It's a slippery slope to go down.
Yeah, it is. You're literally slipping as you slope on there.
But yeah, it's, I think maybe copyright issues are a gateway crime, and that's the reason why the prison warden was okay with they talked him into it.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think his dad ever knew, and he was this mean old gruff
so
bastard.
So he could get more residents?
He was just, and he was scary. We'd go to his house. In fact, the transactions often happened there. So we'd go to get the tapes.
Was he German?
No, but he felt like it.
It felt like it.
He felt
Am
like
I in that. Germany?
He was like this big guy in a suit who scared everyone to death. And he just scared us. And so we'd go to his house. Hello. I don't remember his name. It was like, hello, Mr. Wilson. Hello, kids. Hope you're all being good. How's your grades? This kind of thing.
You want to go to jail?
I should put you in jail just with a look.
And then you'd go into Jeff's, I'll only say his first name. We go into Jeff's room, and that's where the transaction would happen. Say, all right, you give me all your Smarties. I'll give you this copy of Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Or whatever. It
was
great.
Super cheap. Smarties is like the shit of the candies.
You
man.
Could make
I love Smarties.
Smarties are the best, Smarties, man. Too. I love Smarties. What are you crazy?
Man, you guys organize them by color.
I think we've just found a regional opinion. I think we just stumbled on to the regional difference because Smarties
I would rather
is where
eat
I'm
a
from.
Ground and pound Snickers.
Yeah, but then but we have European and Canadian listeners who are like, what the hell are you talking about? That's not a Smartie at all. Like they've got a very different kind of Smartie, don't they?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Or the correlation is if you don't like Smarties, you'll probably like Monster Squad.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well said, Brian. I like the cut of your jib. Hey, check this out. One of my favorite tropes is people who jack around with vampire rules. And I hate it when a movie decides what its rules are going to be. And this one, it was various things. But the thing I didn't know vampires had the ability to do, even Lord of them all, Dracula himself, did not know he could call down lightning at will. Seems a little out there.
Right. And the other lightning thing that he was doing is it turns him into a skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Flashed, you see, Splash was like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when he's trying to kill Steve Martin.
So why does he call down lightning the first time to recharge Frankenstein's monster? Why aren't Frankenstein's monster's bolts on his neck?
Yeah.
Because he has them for some reason.
Yeah. And Dracula has those built into his cane for just such a reason.
And those clothes were so like, I got it at Costco. Like, that's my other problem. I don't like the vampire. Everybody does not need to look like the Bela Lugosi vampire. Mm-hmm. Dracula doesn't need to have a costume. He can just be cool.
But it is, I mean, they went that way with all of the other ones, except for Creature from the Black Lagoon, who I think between the two, I think Gilman was actually kind of a cooler look than the creature from, well, maybe not.
I think so. His face is scarier, though. His face is scarier, for sure.
Yeah, very much
more
scary.
He looked very fish-like.
It wasn't very animated.
It was Boris Karloff's Frankenstein look, right? I mean, Stan Winston was paying homage to all of the original Universal monsters.
Sure. And you would, and you'd want to, and I get being true to all that. And I actually think that Dracula was pretty, that performance was pretty creepy.
It was very true.
Yeah, not bad. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he went on to do. He has no photo on IMDb.
Not much else, but yeah.
Well, you can't take a picture of Dracula.
Yeah.
His IMDb photos.
But see, that's my point. They just are fast and loose with that sort of thing. And we should call it just the Superman pulls his S off his chest and throws it at the mute or something. Because that's basically the same idea. It's like, yeah, sure, he's got that power. Sure, he's got that. And TV's the worst at this. So Kim loves all these stupid vampire shows. She loves them. And she's watching all of True Blood not long ago. And that show sucks, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's watching it, and I'm sitting there for part of it, and I'm like, what the hell did he just do? What is that move? And she goes, oh, well, in this world, vampires can do this. I'm like, oh, that's right. Everyone has their own stupid ideas about what vampires can or can't do. Right. And I hate that. Isn't there some universal thing, stakes to the heart, you can't go out in the daytime, don't look in the mirror because it won't be a reflection.
Garlic pizza in the face.
Yes.
Pizza in the face would have been awesome.
And then you take the universal stuff, and then someone like Stephen King in Salem's Lot tweaks it slightly, not a lot, a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you don't say, okay, now that's the true canon of the monster.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
You just say Stephen King's idea.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't give a crap about any of it. It's like whatever we need for this scene, that's what the monster involved can do.
Yeah. The arbitrariness of it. That's what bothers me. And it's fine. Everybody wants to have their own
guys,
take.
I think you guys may be trying too hard.
Maybe, but look, like, okay, some people give me crap. People give me crap for loving what Danny Boyle and I forgot the guy that did the second one did to the 28 days, 28 weeks later, zombies. Made them running and kind of change zombies forever. I mm-hmm. love it. I think that yeah. is awesome.
And
it's a great
take.
They're
not zombies anyway. They're infected.
They're infected. It's rage virus.
We always
virus,
get that.
Blah,
anytime
blah.
We mention zombies in those movies, it's... Sure. Well, actually, they weren't zombies.
Yeah, they had the rage virus. But my whole point is that I'm fine with new takes. Especially right. when you ground them in something. But this was just like, what do we need here? Oh, we need Superman to take his logo off and throw it in our face. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why Superman 2, that moment in Superman 2 is terrible. Because it wasn't because Superman had that power or it would be neat to see him have it. It was because they needed something in a close proximity fight to take right. to take the wind out of the other guy. And that was to take your logo off and have it somehow expand into a giant piece of cellophane. Right. Oh, that's such bullshit.
No, I didn't have as much of a problem with the lightning as I did with everybody's ability to easily acquire dynamite sticks.
That dynamite, I wrote that down. It's like, dynamite, where the hell did it get dynamite
like
from?
Like there's an Acme store somewhere around where there's a coyote shopping in aisle four.
But I'll tell you, it's pretty badass when Dracula decides to really, you know, amp it up and he comes to your house and blows up your freaking treehouse. Blows up your treehouse with dynamite. Doesn't even go up there, just...
Yeah. Right. And by the way, the death of Wolfman by dynamite is pretty
yes.
freaking awesome.
That was great.
The temporary death of Wolfman
by
dynamite.
It made no sense to me if you were going to light a stick of dynamite and then put it in a guy's hands and then kick him through a window.
Yeah.
It would probably not explode 2 milliseconds after he passed through the window.
Yeah.
Right.
That was pretty great, though.
Yeah,
maybe my favorite moment in the movie. Then the Van Helsing thumbs up is second for me.
The whole thing with Wolfman, by the way, and how his shirt's shredded and his pants aren't, kind of like the Hulk situation.
Sure,
yeah, right.
Doesn't. But the funniest part of that whole thing is that he's wearing a belt.
Yeah,
so like right. when Wolfman poops in the woods, does he fasten his belt back up and?
Listen, when he blows up in between an alley between two brick buildings, right. does he somehow come back together and
the
not
belt
have
comes back together too?
Yeah, his pants right. are fully intact. That was dumb. I get the idea that you can't kill a Wolfman without a silver right. bullet, but come on.
I think they probably originally. I don't know if they originally intended that to be Frankenstein. They said no, he needs to be a nice guy because Frankenstein has that power, right? He has that power too because each part is alive independently.
Yeah, but the arm would just sit in the corner and twitch and move around and try to do things. It wouldn't come right. back together and build the hole again. It's
like,
not
like magnetic
right.
toys from the 80s.
Yeah, it's not like the Iron Giant at the end of that movie where all the little pieces, spoilers, by the way. Actually, that's coming back to theaters, I shouldn't say.
I think
say.
We could probably...
Yes. We're safe.
Yeah, I heard a really good interview with him. I love that movie.
With the Iron Giant?
No, with... with Vin Diesel, actually, it turned out. Yeah. No,
happy.
With Brad Bird.
Movie coming out.
Brad Bird talked a load about the re-release and stuff in some interview I heard on NPR, and he's fascinating. I really like that guy mm-hmm. a lot.
Right.
Stuff he had to say about the state of animation... where Disney went wrong, where they've gone right again, like mm-hmm. his work, how that movie made nothing in theaters and has become this like classic. And it's super fascinating.
You have anyway. To shoot me that link to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. You'd really like it. In fact, I thought yeah. I did. I think I sent it. Well, maybe I put it on Twitter or something, but I'll pass it on. So Dustin Diamond was in this movie. You just didn't know it.
What? Screech?
Yeah, Screech was in it. He had a small role as a kid who tries to sell or trade baseball cards with the boys. This was later cut, but he is in some cut of the film. Featuring Screech. But he would have been probably these kids' age, you know, like 10 or 12 or something.
He would probably been young like that.
He hadn't done a really gross sex tape yet.
Right. Oh, he did a sex tape. I don't want to hear about that. Okay, so I was interested. I'm trying to figure out, okay, so we got the sister who is always, she ends up being like the virgin, right? Not Phoebe, not the little girl. The sister who's always stripping.
Yeah. One who's kind of a virgin, but maybe not really.
Oh,
maybe.
Wait a minute. Can I say something about that virgin real fast?
Yes.
Here. I don't know if this is a trope or not. Aren't all those boys virgins?
Yeah, but they're not.
That's
what
I thought
too. Girls.
Why do they have to be a girl? Why?
It was flown by in that early scene where Van Helsing 300 years ago almost defeats the monsters.
100 years ago?
Yeah. It was whatever. It was stated in a rush.
Yeah, 100 years ago, before the invention of dynamite, by the way.
The incantation had to be read aloud by a virgin girl.
A virgin female. All right. The virgin, what's the name?
And we knew the first girl was a virgin because she was so homely.
Yeah. The virgin.
And then they just let her fly into Dracula's anus or whatever.
Yeah.
whatever,
is it Dracula's anus? Is it hard for you guys to hear the name virgin without wanting to finish the sentence, the virgin Connie Swale?
Connie Swale.
Yeah.
The virgin Connie Swale.
It's so hard for me to not
By the
do
way,
that.
Dynamite, I guess, was 120 years before this movie.
Oh, so they were accurate.
So Dracula could have known about Dynamite.
Okay, good. You cleared that right up for us. Sorry, Dunaway, yeah, I interrupted you in the first place.
I was just curious how they didn't realize she was a virgin as much as she stood in front of the window changing, because she was there every time.
Yeah.
Every time they met at the clubhouse, she was over there getting naked.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, from the moment I realized where this was all going, I started muttering, I'll bet they have the 6-year-old girl do the incantation.
Can I just say, this will give this away maybe because I think it's my alternate title. Yeah, it is. I'm going to save it for that. I have an alternate title dealing with that, and I have a real problem with it. Big problem with it.
Hey, Groundhog Day, mentioned during the movie. When did Groundhog Day come out? Because when he said Groundhog Day, it's like, oh, cool, the Bill Murray thing. No, Groundhog Day is a horror movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Referring to.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Friday the 13th. Let's come up with a movie that they'll never, come up with a holiday that they'll never make a movie about.
Right. And I thought he said we're going to go see Groundhog Day 7 or something.
He did. Groundhog Day 8.
Yeah, that was a little weird. It took me, because this movie's older than Groundhog
14,
Day.
I think. It was way up there because he was talking about all the different things that happened in
Groundhog
Day 7. Oh, no, that was Groundhog Day 8.
When did Groundhog Day, the only Groundhog Day, when did that come out?
Was it 88?
Was it?
Like
it was 90? I don't remember. Crap.
Was it 90? It might have been 90.
93.
It was 93. So early 90s, wow.
Okay. So same year as Jurassic Park. That's how I know things in 93. I don't know. That was weird. He said that, and I kind of scrambled for a minute and forgot I was watching a movie and had to look around and see what was going on, because I thought, that's no way that movie was out in 96 or 86.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Did you guys catch the Neil Bogg reference there, the little Dracula spelled backwards when he was on the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. Restored? I missed it. Did really?
Yeah, he was spelling out because Alvacard called about getting the Van Helsing book.
Yeah.
And so he was sitting there and he was writing it backwards and he's like,
Yeah, it wasn't Nilbog, but it was the Nilbog trope.
Idea.
Of it. Yeah.
Did you know that Artanis from StarCraft II backwards is Sinatra? Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah,
know
Sinatra, that. Think of that. Sinatra's got two big blade arms and
shooby dooby doo.
He's
taking the bottom lane. Shooby
dooby dooby doo. Pushing with Abathur. All right. way too many scenes of kids slowly turning around and looking at things. I hate that so bad. I know it's a thing you do to make movies. It's to build some tension. But when the old German guy is standing right next to you and says something like, "Oi, what are your kids doing in the yard?" or whatever, they all just slowly turn. Come on, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just turn around like we do in life. That's bullshit.
No, I like the slow turn. Well, you know, it's just the overuse from that time period. I mean, it's the same thing we use in comedies all the time with "he's behind me, isn't he?"
Has he been standing behind me?
This movie also had several instances of the trope, the Gilligan cut.
Oh, I like the Gilligan cut. Hold on.
The Gilligan cut.
Explain so the listeners understand.
If you ever watch Gilligan's Island, they do this all the time. This one, the one that really stuck out to me was 2,000-year-old dead guys do not get up and walk away by themselves. And then smash cut, 2,000-year-old dead guy is walking away by himself.
Right. That's true.
What's the worst that could happen? It's not like they're going to put me in a jail for this.
Yeah. Shung. Exactly. Another good trope I like. Where is it now? I just lost it. Hold on. I was skipped past it. Ah, crap. Black guy died.
And kind of impressively with the dynamite. That was kind of...
Only one black guy, too, in the whole movie, and he died in a car.
It blew me away when he did it. Wait, it blew him away. But yeah, it messed with me. I was like, wow, they really going to kill that guy.
Yeah, that surprised me. I was a little bit taken aback.
Let's talk about Stan Shaw for a minute.
Stan Shaw.
Is he the actor?
The actor.
Oh, I like that guy. He's in lots of things.
He was in the original Rocky.
Yeah.
He was in the movie that we'll never see, but we should, Harlem Nights.
Yeah.
He plays a boxer in that. And he's a really good actor. I was shocked because I only have ever seen him in movies in like the 80s. Mm-hmm. I was shocked when I looked it up and found out that he is like 64 years old. The dude is... He's still acting. A little bit.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
I want to say I saw him in something recent-ish, and I'm trying to remember what it was, and I don't see it on his list, so maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But it's immediately a face you would see and go, oh, yeah, that guy. He's in lots of things.
Yeah, I did not understand. Again, I don't want to use the word uneven more than 23 times, but seriously, what in the world was the detective subplot about in this movie?
The divorce?
It was about how a guy in 1986 could be that handsome, have that cool of a voice, and then smoked enough that now looks like he does today. I want you guys to look at him on IMDb and tell me that cigarettes don't age us, because holy freaking crap.
Talking about the dad now, not
the dad. The dad, who's, you know, this young, kind of Italian, rugged-looking dude.
Stephen Mock.
Yeah, right? Look at him now.
Oh, geez.
Can you believe that's the same guy? I mean, I know time passes.
He was born in 42, though, I mean.
Yeah, I understand. He's older, but he doesn't. To me, that's a huge change.
It's a reminder, do not spend most of your life swathing your face skin in cigarette smoke and spending time out in the sun.
I agree. Do you guys ever see that picture of that trucker who always was on, the sun was always hitting on the left side?
Yeah.
And then they compare the two sides of his face for 25 years? That is insane. That is just really freaky to even see that. Okay, the reason I remember this guy, the guy who, what's his name? Stan Shaw. Okay. He's called Big George, I think.
It's
Big George, yeah, in Fried Green Tomatoes. Very memorable.
Right, I forget about that. I knew him somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's
he's the one that cooks the people. He cooks the people.
Yes, he helps get rid of the bodies after the two named Marys kill people.
Yep. Yeah, the two three named Marys?
Three named Marys. Mary Louise Parker and Mary Stuart Masterson.
I forgot about that. The three named Marys.
The three named Marys.
That's awesome that you... Referred
that's
that way.
How I think of those two, because then it's like, oh, that's how I can remember their names, is by like, okay, yeah, the Fried Green Tomatoes had the two three named Marys.
So the it sounds like an insult. Ah, you three named Mary.
Three named Mary.
Yeah. So the Fonzie kid, let's talk about him just briefly.
Rudy.
He never took a seat. Never took a chair. He always sat on the roof or in a on top of the table at the school or. He never sat on anything that was...
Because cool people don't sit in chairs.
Why? When was that a thing? I never did that as a kid. Like, who cares? Sit in a chair.
I do remember I didn't like to sit in chairs, so I would always I would always sit backwards in chairs, or I would just not sit in chairs.
I was known for leaning on things. I actually had a...
Riker.
One of my first employers pointed out to me after I'd worked for her for like 2 years... Do you ever notice that you're always leaning on things? I'm like, are you complaining?
Yes, they are. If you think they are not, they were.
It's a weird thing for people to mention, right?
Yeah, it's a strange thing to bring up. But when you mean like leaning on the wall, leaning on the door frame, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all James Dean-ish.
I think I do that a bit. And I talk with my hands a lot. And I see video of myself doing that, and I don't like what I see.
I didn't notice that at all, Scott. So I was really impressed that you took some meaning, although I don't know what the meaning would be. Just characterization, right? Just differentiating one character from another.
Right.
I noticed that there was a supernatural dog in this film, and the meaning behind that was never once explained or even really referred to.
Wait a minute, Chick in the Bucket was what you're talking about.
True.
Well, let's do a. There's Chick in the Bucket sound. Tell us about this dog. I don't remember the dog.
I don't either.
There's a Jack Russell Terrier.
Jack Russell Terrier
in the movie.
Okay,
and it's like the main kid's dog.
Oh, no, it's a beagle, right?
I thought it was a beagle.
It might have been a beagle. I get those two confused.
Okay,
he was a Snoopy dog. He was a beagle.
More than once that dog appears out of nowhere, and one time they're like, "How did the dog get here?" Because they're up in a treehouse, and there's no explanation given. It's a throwaway line, but I stopped at that moment and said, "Yeah. How did the dog get here?" And then I started noticing, and the rest of the movie, every time the dog appears somewhere and is doing something, I'm like, how did the dog get there?
Some subplot where Dracula could spy on the kids by taking the form of other animals or some BS thing like that, and they just never got around to like fleshing that out. Right. I wonder.
They edited that scene out because it also had...
I wonder,
Screech
dude.
In Screech in it.
Yeah.
Screech's pet dog.
Still,
where's
a good dog?
I still don't remember the dog, though. Why don't I remember the dog?
I felt like it was only there to escalate the tension when you couldn't see the actors maybe representing hey, there's fear. If a dog walks behind you, then that's a definite indication that there's something
dangerous. He also grabbed the mummy's bandages at one point, didn't he?
He may have, but they unwrapped him with the bow and arrow.
Oh, that was so dumb.
That was dumb. I thought that was cool.
No. It looked cool, but there's no way that arrow holds, man. There's no way that arrow holds.
But what it did prove to me and made me question was how dangerous are some monsters? First of all, the mummy can be unwrapped. He's not very dangerous at all. Okay. Also, how undangerous is a skeleton? They literally have no muscle. No muscle.
Yeah.
How can a skeleton ever hurt you? And then I started thinking, every movie I've ever seen a skeleton attack, the skeleton's always just falling on the person. That's it. That's the worst thing you're going to have with a skeleton.
It's a bad
Except
power.
For those ones with the bow and arrows and that Jason and the Argonauts. Now, that's scary. Arrows.
Oh, those are scary, yeah. I don't like any of the stop motion skeletons give me the willies. I don't like those.
Right.
By far, the thing that drives me the most crazy in Minecraft is the skeleton bow and arrow thing.
Oh, freaking hate those guys.
Sure.
First of all, you don't know where they're coming
from. A skeleton
with
no weapons? It's nothing.
Yeah, I kind of agree. So, do we have, let's just get a consensus. Does anyone have a favorite classic monster? Like, because this stuff is like not even our parents. It's more like our grandparents' era of monsters. Right. This is what they were into. This is the horror movies they saw. It came from the deep, you know, silly stuff like that. These were huge back then. For them, this was the Freddy Kruegers and the Jason Voorhees and that kind of thing of our day.
Right. So out of the classic monsters, do we have a particular
monster? Yeah, do you have a favorite? Dunaway, you start. What do you think?
Sure. I'm definitely, I've always loved Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I've watched just about every version of Frankenstein, whether or not it's been bastardized to be a universal kind of monster or if it's the original Mary Shelley's. I love Frankenstein because he has...
Do you like the Robert De Niro one they did?
That was my favorite. That's the Mary Shelley Frankenstein.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And, did you see the most recent...
Frankenstein?
Harvey Dent one? Yeah.
No, yes, Harvey Dent. What?
Yeah, I've seen that one as well.
It's what's his face?
Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart. Yeah,
I did indeed. Idea. It's not good, but it's not bad. And if you're a Frankenstein fan, you may have some fun.
All right, was that a thing that went to theaters and stuff? Or
it did.
Okay,
and now it's on. I think it's on Netflix still, isn't it?
It's called I Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. I Frankenstein. Yeah.
Do we have to put I in front of shit all the time? What's going on? I robot.
It's only because there isn't a last name. Frankenstein's last name, so you can't just do Stein.
Oh,
right.
Like Creed.
Stein's monster.
Right.
Stein's monster. Hey, look at my monster. He's all scary. I'm Stein.
Fire.
Napster bad. Anyway. I'm sort to Ibbit. Do you have a favorite classic?
Yeah, the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, that's cool.
It's such an iconic look and like.
His like lips that. Always bother me every time they've ever represented.
Oh, he's so creepy. He's like, he's, you know, in his eyes and stuff. Bela Lugosi also, if I remember correctly, and same as Dracula.
Yeah,
but
well, you really stole mine.
Well, oh no, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, it's okay. I was going to say I never actually had a favorite like classic monster as a kid. I was really really caught up in these new, not monster villain things that were coming out in horror movies, and it was such a great time, by the way, the 70s and 80s for this kind of thing. Like, there's nothing new under the sun in 2015, but in the 70s and 80s, people were just throwing out things like Piranha and The Blob. And
yeah,
this
Blob.
Kind of,
mm-hmm. I consider The Blob a classic.
Yeah, Blob is definitely a classic. And I'm sorry, Lon Chaney, not Bela Lugosi. Mm. Misspoke.
Mm. All right. So I was terrified of The Blob. The Blob was the scariest thing I could think of when I was 8 years old. And I thought of it a lot. And I regret that I was ever introduced to The Blob, and I don't understand. Like, looking back on it, you look at the movie and you're like, actually, this is a movie without a bad guy. They you know, like, The Blob exists
right.
to make it easy to make a movie, basically.
Right.
You know, like, it's a kind of the same with Piranha, but Piranha is genuinely terrifying because even though you don't have to actually demonstrate the fish chewing on people's skin, you just show people writhing around in the water and the water bubbling and stuff. So right. It's cheap to
Piranha
make a movie.
Doesn't scare me because I just don't go in the water. Now, the Blob.
The Blob scares me too. Ever-growing. I agree. The Blob's scary. There's something suffocating about The Blob.
Right.
And I'll admit to you, I have seen every Piranha movie. Some of them several times. And it was
that Piranha 3D just a couple years ago? You saw that?
Yeah. It was 5 years ago already. And no, 6 years ago. Wow.
He just anyway. Went to the anniversary showing.
Yeah.
But like when I was a kid, you know, you'd spend a week with your cousin in the summer.
Yeah.
My cousin and I would watch all the Piranha movies back to back to back.
Wow. Interesting. That is a, there's a tradition. All right.
Scott,
for
Scott,
me,
what's yours?
For me, it's, I am very fond of the Frankenstein mythos. I think that stuff's gothic and awesome, and I think that stuff's really cool. But if I had to pick one that isn't just something everybody's already picked, I would probably go with the Nosferatu version of the vampire. That creepy 20s silent movie looking deal.
Yeah, that black and white, and that iconic scene that they show in every horror movie montage.
Yeah,
black and white horror movie montage where he rises up.
Yeah, that thing scares the shit out of me, that thing. Still to this day. I
But I hate to harp on this, but can we all agree that Stephen King really figured it out with
Salem's Lot is awesome.
Salem's Lot.
Yeah, I agree. That is a really cool. The movie version sucked, but the book is that's vampires for the rest of us. It's real, real good.
It's another one I haven't read yet.
Yeah.
And you have read Dark Tower?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, all of it.
I have it. No, okay, so I get turned off from Dark Tower because
Scott won't shut up about it.
In 1996. We drove on one of our first trips ever to Las Vegas. It was me, Tina, Vicky, and Jason in the car. And Vicky and Jason were just started dating. Tina and I were engaged. And we drove out to Las Vegas. And Jason was listening to The Dark Tower read by Stephen King.
Oh, Lord.
And he made us listen to it for like 3 hours of the drive. In the middle, it wasn't like even the beginning of The Dark Tower. He tried to give us this explanation of what happens beforehand and how we got to this point. And just the Stephen King's voice, and
he is not
a
joy to listen to.
No, and not knowing anything about this story, and the fact that we had the double quarter pounders with cheese before we left Denver, it was a miserable experience.
Royale, I can imagine.
He turned me off from The Dark Tower completely.
I just want you to know, Brian Ibbett, you should listen to The Dark Tower as audiobooks. Unfortunately, Frank Welker was only able to do the first three books. George Guidel nails the last four. I mean, nails it. He's amazing. So it's not.
I'll totally give it another shot.
But if I was making a list of Stephen King books that you should read or reread right before consuming Dark Tower, number one would be Salem's Lot.
Okay. Yeah, it's really good. It's only his second published book, which is crazy, but it's really good. I will agree. I will add my vote to that pile. If you like vampire crap, that's.
If you like vampire crap.
Yeah, it's good.
Vampire crap. Just don't expose it to someone.
What does that even look like? Is that like white ghost turds? What is that?
White ghost turds. You got it right.
That is.
Yeah, okay. There's not even an odor. You just, there right. It is. Let's do some clips.
Oh, holy cow. Mary Ellen Trainor, by the way,
yeah.
Who played the mom,
yeah.
Passed away earlier this year.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That's early. Yeah. She was young.
She wasn't that old. And she was like, she's been in so many other things like Romancing the Stone. Mm. She was the psychiatrist in all the Lethal Weapon movies. It's always trying to get Riggs to
calm down.
Boy, had some bad plastic surgery before she died, like in 2014.
Haven't we all?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to play some clips now. There's some good ones here. Despite the movie being kind of mediocre in my opinion, but it's Halloween, so why not have some clips? Oh, and by the way, we're making this and releasing this episode on Halloween.
On Halloween.
So early, and also happy Halloween, everybody.
We're not going to give the sausage any time to ferment.
I know.
You're getting the sausage as soon as we poop it out.
It's coming right away. All right, here's an early scene with the kid in it who says a thing.
Miss Carlson's a nice teacher and all, but she's boring and has an odd shaped head.
All right, great.
Yeah, you're not gonna finish really that? Hope you're gonna finish that.
Was there more to that? I don't remember.
Yeah, they talked about her weird cat head thing.
Oh, and then later they showed it with her hair cut like a cat hair. Yeah, it was like Wolverine kind of. It was stupid. It was all dumb. Again, that was in the early. That was in the first movie that we saw, which was this teen bully angst club movie that turned into this other bullshit movie that we ended up watching the rest of. I don't know. This
is... I think science is cool.
Oh, yeah. It's
the counselor, whatever he is.
Counselor guy. Yeah. God, he was killing
it. He gets worse. Listen.
I dig it, man.
There he goes. He digs it, man.
Trope.
Yeah, big time. Adults just don't understand.
Yes, I try to be hip and speak with the kids' lingo, and that makes me even more of a doofus.
YOLO swag. Where's my bae?
I have to say the name of my trope this way whenever it comes up. Adults are so stupid.
Yeah. That's basically it.
There it is.
Here's what's times have changed. I wrote here because what they say here, you don't hear kids say in movies anymore. So here you go.
Oh my God.
Dad, can you believe Mr. Metzger? Tell me about it. He was touching me, patting my shoulders and stuff.
I think I was fully homoing out.
I smell like the 40s.
I mean, when they send you to school, what'd they tell you about the homos and the people with cat heads?
And they use they use the F word as
the homosexual F word.
A lot.
This is like
a lot. A disturbing.
This is like. Yeah. Right? This is like the song of the South for gay people, I believe.
Well, I was just going to say, this is like
what your Twitter post is, right? But you need to replace it with the Monster Squad is the song of the South for gay people.
That may have to be repeated on Twitter or something. That's very funny. All right.
It felt to me very much the way I felt watching Eddie Murphy Raw.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, so this was a few minutes before everybody stopped doing that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Raw is interesting because it doesn't. It's not that it doesn't hold up. You're right. It is so much of a time.
There's a whole huge chunk. This is about homosexuality, but then he does talk about getting beat up by he's still a man. And I remember seeing that. I saw that New Year's Eve or was it New Year's Day?
Yeah.
And the year that it was released at the theaters.
Also, isn't it the last time a comedian got up on stage in a full vinyl
leather,
suit?
Leather, right?
No, I've actually seen comedians pay homage to that. So, I mean, in the last 10 years.
Really?
But paying homage is different than I'm just doing it because I like to wear a leather suit.
Yeah, put a helmet on and you look like a bullet bike driver or something.
he really did rock it. And that also started the long series of comedy specials where you see him just a little bit off stage, like just outside of it all. And coming into the stage presence and then leaving it, at least for me, that was a big deal, a big change in comedy.
It was for sure, and there's still some of that going on now. Although now it's so self-referential and so ironic, nobody if they come out in a big hoopla, it's because they know that they're doing it, and it's all very ironic. Like nobody takes that seriously anymore. But when Eddie was doing it was like rock star.
What was the major contributor to the downfall of Eddie Murphy as, pure money? Like what movie after bad movie?
I think him not caring anymore.
I don't think you can point to one.
I think he quit caring and just backed off. I don't think he wanted to do anything anymore. And he was he was getting some pretty bad roles, but what was that Pluto movie? Pluto Nash?
Pluto Nash. That was much later on in his
career. Meat. Dave.
But once in a while, stuff would show up. Like, what was the one with Steve Martin I liked so much?
Bowfinger.
Bowfinger was great.
That was really good, yeah.
It occurs to me that my kid will never understand what Eddie Murphy was for a few years in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, donkey!
Exactly.
Just make him watch old SNL and, whatever.
it's not understandable because, my kid loves Mulan and Eddie Murphy is a
dragon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. Forgot he's that.
I guess he did. Yeah, he's the donkey for sure. So he's had his, whatever. I think these guys just hit a certain point where they're like, I don't care anymore. And I think he's not done. I think you'll see him show up in more. Lee Daniels presents the whatever.
Yeah, I expect him to make a big return before it's over.
Yeah,
I think so too. Here's
something. Tarantino will bring him back in about 5 years.
Yeah, it'll all be fine. Here's something about Rudy and eating. Oh, it's Rudy. The candy bar. Here you go.
Rudy eats.
Oh, yeah.
Rudy!
Eat! All right.
Thank you for documenting the most awkward time of my childhood forever.
All that hair was weighing him down. Check this out.
I want to see a stupid movie.
Well, you can't. You're babysitting.
Oh, I've never. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that.
$5, Dad. It was like, I used to want to separate me from my $5. I was like, $5? Movies used to cost $5?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
And now this was the point in the movie where I was actually kind of, wow, there's like raw, something's raw here. And they never paid it off, but it's when the werewolf ran into the police station. So listen to what he says here.
Knock me up!
That's intense, man.
Yeah, it is. And who is that guy? That's another guy that you see in everything.
The Wolfman.
No, the actor, he means.
The actor, yeah. Hold on, I'm looking up because it's a guy that There's Carl Thibault or Tybalt.
Tybalt.
Yeah. Tybalt.
He's interesting.
Mr. Tybalt.
He's interesting. Everything he did, I thought it was maybe the best acting.
Oh, no, wait, I take that back. He's.
No, when you,
if you're a werewolf,
yeah.
You know, why don't you go somewhere isolated instead of always going somewhere asking people to lock you up? You know, it's not going to work out well.
It's true, but he I'd say he was a cut above from everybody else, and he was barely on screen because when he was in makeup, who cares? But
it
when
was
he
someone was, else.
Yeah,
it's a different guy in makeup.
Else. Right.
Yeah, John Grease is the actor who plays the guy who turns into the werewolf.
Uncle,
and he was Uncle. Napoleon
Rico.
Dynamite.
Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico,
yes.
Yeah.
No wonder I liked that. I like him in everything I've seen him in.
Yes.
And
he's great.
I'm convinced the person playing the mummy inside the mummy was a 7-year-old girl. That was the smallest human
it
being.
Was very, I loved it because it was so odd. It was disturbing.
Maybe that was Screech. Could have been.
All right.
all right. Perfect. What else we got here? Why can't I see a lock? Okay, here's this.
The problem is, 2,000-year-old dead guys do not get up and walk away by themselves.
And then he got up and walked away by himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's some sweet acting.
There's a monster in my closet.
Damn, son, look at all of these monsters. Come on, all of you monsters, out of here. Everyone, out of this room. Come, you, on the bed. Come on, out. Take a hike.
All right, now.
That's sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah. Dad is sarcastic. Also, Dad is very loud. The rest of the household is not having it when you're up yelling like that.
Can we agree though that the fighting between the parents was way overplayed?
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
It was so stupid.
Well, it was. I mean, through the vent when they started barking at each other, and the kid could hear them through the vent.
Well, people just don't fight like that. I don't care if
you
it
don't
was
think so.
Not like you, that. Not like
you. People must not have lived where I lived. I literally used to not my family, but I've been to friends' houses that I mean, it would just be. I'm like, why are you people together?
But it didn't feel like they were talking. But they weren't screaming. These guys were. It's the kind of conversation. It's like the tweets I get from Donald Trump in the morning. It's like. They sound so silly and stupid and over the top. Like that's my problem. Is it just didn't sound like a real fight.
Everybody has had a time when your partner, you know, didn't like that you had to go do something else. No one has ever come back and yelled, "Don't you know what I go through?"
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's exactly. I agree with you 100%. And by the way,
God, you people live such charmed lives.
Well,
I was cursing and listening to people being. Sarcastic.
So I just want to share this tweet from Donald Trump this morning, okay, just to give you an idea of the tone I'm talking about.
Okay.
He gets up in the morning. He does all his own tweets. Good on him, I suppose. Yeah, you know, I'd rather hear this than some filtered damn thing. But he says, "The Wall Street Journal loves to write badly about me. They better be careful or I will unleash big time on them. Look forward to it."
There's no hashtag in that one?
No, he's in junior high.
Hashtag big time.
I've seen Mean Girls, dude. Right. He is a mean girl is what he is.
He's a mean girl.
Anyway.
Really quickly, can I blow your mind with we were talking about the mummy, the guy who played the mummy?
Yeah, blow it.
Guy named Michael Reed McKay. You know him better. This was his first role in 1987. Later on, he would play the victim, the sloth victim in Seven, the guy who's shackled to the bed and the guy who actually is the only living victim.
Yeah, the one that breathes suddenly and Brad Pitt just about poops himself because of it. Yeah,
exactly. And he is... Oh, shoot, I lost it. Batman. He's Bane in the Batman and Robin movie.
The Batman Forever?
Antonio Diego Bane from the Nipples Batman movie.
But he's the...
he's the pre... Right, he's not the muscular...
Oh, he's the little wimpy one before he become... Right. Before we could do with Chris Evans what we did with Chris Evans in Captain America.
Right, exactly, yes.
Oh, that's great.
How mind-blowing is that?
Him in that bed makes perfect sense now that he's that actor. Like, that he's clearly being typecast as... We need someone who's emaciated to the point of death. Who can do it?
Perfect. Let's get that mummy guy from Monster Squad.
Yeah, the three-named mummy guy.
And the guy, by the way, the guy who plays the pilot at the beginning of Monster Squad, this one I couldn't... Because I knew I recognized him. I couldn't place him. He was the guy holding the bellboy up at gunpoint in the second or third of the four rooms.
Oh, okay. Really?
Right, right.
Yeah, the mobster dude who's got Jennifer Beals and tied up.
Right. Yeah, the third. That's the third of the four rooms.
The third is the misbehavior is the second.
Wait a minute.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's the misbehaviors is the third.
When's the witches and they're all showing
they're
the boobs?
First. That's the first
okay,
one.
Okay, that's first. And then they do the, then it's the misbehaviors. Then it's the third one. And then Tarantino's okay. The fourth one.
Right. Okay.
I think yeah, so.
So, Scott, would you indulge me for just a second?
Yeah, always.
If you're going to read out loud Donald Trump tweets,
yeah.
You got to read at least one reply.
Okay.
From some stranger.
Yeah.
Right?
So, they're the
so here it is.
All right,
so here it is. 2 hours ago, Donald Trump tweeted, "The Wall Street Journal loves to write badly about me. They better be careful or I will unleash big time on them. Look forward to it."
It's going
to
be huge, okay?
Yeah, and then some guy named Christopher Allen replied, "I definitely want a president who threatens journals and newspapers when they don't agree with him. America!"
That's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good. Do not elect this man. All right.
I personally welcome my President Trump.
Yeah, you don't want to be on his bad side when he gets in. He wants podcasts on his side. Let's see here. Here's a terrible Frankenstein voice. So here you go.
You understand?
Yes, master.
Ugh.
He very much, they used that sloth from Goonies voice.
Hello. No one doesn't have a friend. All right. Same lady, wrong movie. All right. German guy. Here you go.
It's your last chance for pie.
Yeah.
I'm keeping that one forever, by the way.
Yeah,
it's your last chance for pie. All right. When Ebbet.
That pie looked and that is really whole, good.
Yeah, no.
Did you see the pie?
Really, it looked great.
Yes.
It looked
I'm
great.
A big fan of cherry pie.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite, probably yeah. my favorite, like, pastry dessert.
Yours and Warren's.
Yeah, Warren say, loves the cherry pie. Yeah.
Cherry pie?
Yeah. Right. You're my cherry pie.
That trope of like, oh no, the scary guy's got you in his house, and then you cut close up to him and he's holding up a knife saying, your time is almost up for pie.
For pie.
Kids already have pie, so why would you be saying that?
You like, would never do it. You would never do it.
It was forced.
This
it
movie
was-
does that a lot. All right. I got a clip from Brian's high school prom.
Oh, good.
Yep. Ibbet went to prom, and his date specifically asked him this question. We have audio of his response. The date says, "Brian Ibbet, did you bring condoms?" Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said,
"Now that you mention it, I suppose I do."
Went a long way
like
for that.
I changed the tense of it too.
Yeah, I meant,
did I bring condoms?
I should have said, "Did you bring a condom, or do you have
do
a condom?"
You have.
Yeah,
you have
there
condom.
We go. Do you have?
Yeah,
yes.
I blew that one. All right. How about?
I will find some of my old prom pictures and send them to you. Just so you know.
Okay.
You think you blew that one?
Yeah. Too. Right. All right. So here's a this is the little kid swearing, and I don't know why. Call me the dad of daughters, but I just feel bad when you make a little kid cuss. They're going to cuss in their own time, so don't make him do it on camera, but here it is.
Come on, don't be chicken shit.
Don't be chicken shit.
That's not a cuss.
It's a
That's
little...
a thing, it's chicken a, shit. It's right there. It's a thing.
It's a kind of money.
Yeah, chicken shit. How much chicken shit is this?
Chicken shit.
Seriously, folks. Seriously, those of you who did not watch the movie, stop and go watch the movie.
Yeah. Where is that chicken shit money? Do I have that?
Chicken shit money.
There it is. Found it. Here's some 80s ass 80s music.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, dude. That could go on forever. Just keep it coming. Keep it coming. Oh, that's all I recorded. All right.
Okay.
That's too bad.
Keep it coming.
These kids is what I wrote here.
I know you are, but what am I?
Good luck, butt love.
Thank you for not playing the whole 7-minute sequence of I know you are, but what am I?
Well, most of it sucked, so I cut it out. But
it all sucked.
I did do this bit.
Good luck, butt love. I know you are, but
no,
what am I?
No, not that one. I already played that one. Oh, no, I guess that's the only one I got. Yeah, I didn't get
any one. There was a bigger one before that they went through a whole discussion. But yeah, butt love and walkie-talkies, man. I miss a time when walkie-talkies were a thing for me.
Yeah, did you run around with your friends and stuff with them? And
oh, totally.
Yeah, we did too. We played war a lot.
Yeah, did you guys have military-grade walkie-talkies, or did you have the little cheap plastic ones? Yeah, we had the big old military-grade.
Oh, really? Things. Oh, I had cheap plastic ones.
I had cheap plastic ones, too. Yeah, that must be, again, a regional thing, you guys in the South.
Because I was in the Boy Scouts, walkie-talkies just never stopped being awesome, and they really came into their own for me when I got old enough to drive, mm-hmm. and my friends also were old enough to drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually admitting that I became old enough to drive before cell phones were even remotely a thing.
Yeah.
And you'd pull up next to your buddy at a stop sign and talk on the walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great. When we would go to Lake Powell, we'd do a big caravan of all the families that were going, and we would all communicate by walkie-talkies between the motorhomes and the vans and the everything. And we used to think that was just the raddest thing ever. It's super stupid now with phones, but at the time it seemed great.
I have some military grade walkie-talkies out in my little closet over here.
Are they big? Like the big long ones were like, we're getting shelled. You need to send an evac. Like that kind
of thing. Totally, yes.
Choppers.
Bring them things out.
Tonight's movie is
about
VD. I'll
send one to you, Scott, and we can talk from here with them.
All right, let's do it.
It's weird to think, like, for a lot of places, if you go camping, your iPhone is going to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And right. You should take walkie-talkies so you can talk to people who are a couple hundred yards away.
Of course you should. Here's one about Creature Stole My Twinkie.
Creature stole my Twinkie.
That's literally what he said.
Aww. And she still thinks she's a virgin?
I think that was the boy, though. Because they had the two little kids, right?
Yes, it was the boy, yeah.
Like they'd ever be involved in this. All right, here's a virgin cough.
Have you ever caught
Kid's dying, dude.
I thought that was the beagle.
please tell me you captured the talk about whether or not she was a virgin, because it was the worst dialogue I've ever heard in my life.
Was it this one here?
Are you a virgin?
Yeah, the Jack Tripper school of acting right there.
Yep. Right. Yep. Oh my gosh, that'd be a great school to go to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it actually would.
You need to stay in this room and you need to overhear a conversation that you completely misunderstand as people having sex.
And you need to put your fist in your mouth and look away when you hear things that you don't like to hear.
Yep. That's it. Here's I wrote being a wuss. I don't know what that is.
Being a wuss.
Oh, that's
wuss.
Oh, it's Frankenstein saying wuss.
Yeah. Wuss, bogus.
Here's the Wolfman line correctly pronounced.
Wolfman's got nards.
Yeah, there you go. We fixed the problem.
Oh, it's nards.
No, it's not cards, Brian. It's not cards. It's nards.
Did you guys ever think that the Wolfman didn't have nards? Was that ever?
Yeah, why wouldn't he, right?
Yeah, your nards don't go away. They don't, like, suck up into your chest or something while you're being Wolfman. They stay down there.
Wolf eunuch.
Yeah. Never trust the wolf eunuch.
I think you should have taken more offense to that. Of course they've got nards.
Back some pie.
Perhaps we should all go back to my place for some pie.
Yeah, we're all in the middle of this horrible supernatural nightmare. Let's go back and get some pie.
Satan's anus is closed up and you want me to go back and eat pie? Problem is, I think we ate it all, didn't we?
Yeah.
Right. Totally were, because it's getting like big old quarter slice pie. It's huge.
Well, here's a truth you've all forgotten.
Monsters hate religious stuff.
Monsters hate religious stuff.
Mm. True story. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll
never see a monster in church. Never.
I wrote great black guy laugh. That sounds racist, but I don't mean it to be. I just like how he laughed.
Look, I'm sorry.
I like that guy.
I love to apologize for laughing.
Yeah. All the time. Let's see. What's this? I don't know what this is.
We pull this off. I'm going to shit.
Oh. Okay. Great.
I really got to go. That Burger King was upsetting my belly.
See, that was a good use of that word in that kid's mouth. Like,
I
that
agree.
Was, that made me laugh even now.
Yeah.
There were other times when it just felt like, what are they thinking?
Yeah, they just use it too much. If you're going to insult a mummy, here's how you do it.
See you later, Band-Aid breath.
See you later, Band-Aid. Yeah, I don't know why it sounded like he's leaf blowing.
See you later, Band-Aid breath.
The music behind him sounds like he's like leaf blowing or something. It sounds awful.
He's working in a machine shop.
That's such an 80s thing to say. That there was a couple things you did in the 80s, and that was one of them. And do we still use the thing where we call somebody something, and then if they look, we go, made you look? Does people still do that?
No, I don't think so. I can't remember.
It's like, hey, turd face. Then you turn around and said, made you look.
Made you look, yeah.
I don't remember the last time I heard that. It had to have been high school. Been a long time for me.
Yeah.
It's two for flinching.
I hear a lot of, here's what I hear today. I hear kids saying, hey, guess what? What? Monkey butt? I hear that a lot.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
You actually did? Really?
I have heard that, yeah.
Guess why? Chicken thigh?
I've heard some kids.
I've heard that one.
Kids in the neighborhood say that.
Utah is weird.
Or not monkey butt, chicken butt. They go, guess what? Chicken butt.
Chicken butt, yeah.
And then the chicken thigh thing, I've heard that follow-up. Like, that's happened. It's kids, man. That's what they're into. Bay. YOLO. Swag. All right. Swag. Here's the Dracula blows up the treehouse.
Meeting adjourned.
All right.
That's what it was, yes.
That was
the Schwarzenegger line.
Mm-hmm. They did a few of those, didn't they?
which is fine, but it was another one of those things where I did not catch it the first time at all. This movie was filled with lines that I just did not catch the first time.
So you don't remember him saying,
"Meeting adjourned."
You don't remember that?
I didn't know what he said. No. I heard it. I heard the tone. I got that it was the, like, joke like that, but I didn't know what he said.
Yeah. Let's try this one. What's this? Oh, this is that terrible rap at the end. Oh, Lord.
Oh, love that. It's the dragon was going to blow up a tree.
This is how we rapped in the late 80s, people. Yep. At least the white folks did anyway.
It was bad. It was really bad. The only
that Kumo D by chance? Who was that?
I don't know who that
Kumo
was.
Kumo D, yeah.
It might have been. But that's how all raps were then. Run DMC kind of came and changed that up a little bit, but still, you know, it was still my Adidas.
But Will Smith kind of. Yes, coat on my feet. Oh.
Yeah,
he kind of jokes about that, right? I mean, that's like kind of the joke. You let me tell you about a story when I was a boy. It's kind of like that sound, but more making fun of it than
Today it's very it's very different.
It looks like I mean I haven't dug too deeply on this, but it looks like that was Michael Cimbello who did
No, Michael Cimbello was a maniac from
I know. But it looks like he performed this rap song. If you dig into the credits the for this movie, listing. Yeah,
I imagine he produced it. I imagine he produced the music, but I can't imagine that's actually him rapping. He's the guy who did Maniac for.
I know.
That's Michael Cimbello. He does a rap.
It's like if you dig a little bit, you got to go watch every YouTube video from Monster Squad.
I'm checking all music.com.
Hey, I'm not arguing with anybody about any music, because this past week I found out that I'm a moron as far as music goes. Found out Danny Elfman was Oingo Boingo lead singer during the 80s and stuff. I'm like, what?
You didn't know that?
What?
I didn't know that.
You should be more shocked the other direction, which is, can you guys believe Danny Elfman scored the music to Batman for Tim Burton or whatever?
And totally didn't realize he was the voice behind Jack Skellington. I mean, so
only his singing voice. He wasn't his talking voice, but
singing voice. So
you didn't know that?
Wow,
I am impressed that you didn't know that. That's crazy. Well, it's the South.
All music can't list the Monster Squad soundtrack.
Why?
We can't list it. We can't do it.
It was that bad. We can't have it out there.
Michael Cimbello has asked them not to.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Here we go. Let's see here.
Well, I'm going to go to the stand.
There's not even a track list on Amazon. I hate the internet.
Yeah.
I know. No, this is like the redheaded stepchild of movie music.
It might not exist.
So wait, the internet can tell me how to hate gay people, build a potato gun, and stalk a girl and make her miserable, but it won't tell me the track list from this movie? The internet's broken.
No, this song was definitely written and produced by Michael Cimbello. That is certain.
Yes,
it is the question of who is doing the actual rapping, and
Rock Till You Drop is a different song, and I believe that is.
Absolutely.
That's definitely Michael Cimbello singing. Here we go. It is called
The Monster Squad. Is the name of the song?
Oh, the song is called The Monster Squad. All right, hold on.
Well, while you're doing that, I think the internet has saved me, because StanWinstonSchool.com has Stan Winston School of Character Arts.
Seriously.
That is amazing.
That's a thing, right?
How much are they?
Well, it's probably, I don't know.
$5?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Oh my gosh.
Pumpkin carving?
I made a bad search on the internet. Let me get back.
That was bad.
All right. While you're looking
okay.
Did you find it? I give up. All right. Well, here's this.
Oh, you're gonna have to.
The film sack checklist. Kids were way more foul mouthed in the 80s movies. Check. Don't kick the church. It's religious. Check. Why did I write kick the church? Somebody said don't kick the church.
Yeah, they were kicking the church.
Oh, that's right.
Because they couldn't get into the front door.
Yeah, don't kick the church. It's religious.
It looked like the clock tower, too, from.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Almost wrote something down. I thought that's too stupid. I'm not writing that down. But now
we need silver bullets. We need wooden stakes. Normal stuff wouldn't stop because they live on hate.
Oh, my gosh.
I found lyrics.
That's bad.
I found the lyrics.
The werewolf exploding was pretty great. Check. Star Trek connections. Stephen Macht. He played Del in this in DS9. He played General Krim in TOS. He was considered for the role of Jean-Luc Picard. I don't know why he wrote TOS. That doesn't make sense. That'd be TNG. because Jean-Luc Picard would not be in the original series. Phil Kaluta, driver from the coroner van. He performed stunts in Insurrection, Voyager, and Enterprise. And Julius LeFleur was squad room cop number two. Did a bunch of stunt work and doubles for Avery Brooks every time anything happens scary in Deep Space Nine. And then finally, Duncan Regyar. He was Count Dracula in DS9. He played Beverly Crusher's ghostly lover Ronan in the episode Sub Rosa. So we've seen that. Remember that guy?
Wow.
That was that guy.
And same guy.
We did that for FilmSack. Yeah, that horrible ghost dead grandma episode. Yeah.
Dead grandma episode.
He also played Shocker Eden in three episodes, Shakar, Crossfire, and The Begotten. So very busy Star Trek people from this film. Soundtrack grade, I give it for N.I. for no idea how I feel. I don't really know what to think about the soundtrack. It was part kind of orchestrated Disney-sounding Spielberg-y stuff, part horrible montage 80s music, part weird rap at the end. I really don't know what to make of it. So I'm not going to try to make it.
There wasn't much scoring.
Yeah, no. It was just weird. And also a leaf blower kind of sounded like for a while.
I just found the funniest. It looks like somebody tried to use like a word recognition program to write down the lyrics of the Monster Squad rap. Mm-hmm. So it's like, my name is Horace, Monster Squad enthusiast, double-barreled fat kid beauty tips, a little devious. Walk on my own, head buried in the comics. A sneaker's bar is a poem. Man, I wish I alone. Stupid bullies kill the magazine. Yo, Rudy, help me out.
Whoa.
Yo, Rudy, help me out.
Yeah, you know what? That could be the title of this movie. Yo, Rudy, help me out.
Yo, Rudy, help me out.
Yeah. They just somebody translated into Japanese and then.
But apparently, there is a line in there called "The Ghostbusters ain't shit."
There is really.
Yeah,
well, that's great.
This movie just doesn't even hold the tiniest candle to the Ghostbusters.
Not even close. Maybe to Ghostbusters 2, though.
It's funny because the next verse is like. The IMDb synopsis of the movie. 100 years ago, before the song begins, Van Helsing and his cronies blew it again. I'm Dracula. I'll bite you on the neck and drain you. This is for whoever shot that crossbow, my lady in Transylvania. I'm on the 125 bitch slapping pilots. Pull the cargo hatch and I'll turn into a bat on the front of my horse.
This is the original gangster rap.
This is the screenplay done in rap.
That's amazing.
If you had made this your greeting, we wouldn't have known that you just copied it.
Kind of.
Yeah. We would have thought you wrote this all fresh.
That's really good. No kidding. That's really
good. Artist may be somebody named Time or Extra Cool. There's two people listed for singing this, Extra Cool and Time.
Extra Cool and Time?
Yes.
Two things we have neither of. all right, let's do Twitter posts. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Monster Squad. Scary looking people, weird music, old German guys, women who don't know that they lost their virginity already, just like Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Aww. That sounds right to me. Brian Dunaway.
The Monster Squad, like watching the Halloween special, The Goonies, with a friend who has a sister who's an attention whore. Or fine, like the Song of the South for gay people.
Nice. That's pretty good, too. I like that a lot. And Brian Ibbot. Brian Ibbot. We lose Brian.
I'm still here. Okay. I just didn't hear you say my name before. The Monster Squad. Shouldn't their group be called the Anti-Monster Squad?
Oh,
no.
Make good a good point. You ruined an otherwise perfect film.
It was just my childhood.
Completely. Someone has just handed me this. It's the. It says here it's an alternate title. Oh, I see. These are titles that almost made it. Okay. First one is Adults Take 90 Minutes to Believe Kids. That was almost the one. Or this one. Sorry, it's a little creepy to talk about a 5-year-old girl in the context of her virginity.
Yeah,
that
made me feel uncomfortable. That didn't.
Don't do that.
She's not old enough to read.
I don't like
that's
it.
Just not,
yeah, that's the problem, right? Because you're right. Like, oh, well, if they just need a virgin girl, they just need to make sure they always are hanging out with a girl who's just young. But they went too young, and now she can't read the incantation.
Yeah. Went too young and too far, therefore. Emails. We got an email from a listener who did not leave their name, but they said this. Hey, Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian. Just finishing the episode for Stand By Me, and I wanted to mention that my parents used to play 31 with friends for years. I'm not sure if it's the same game from the movie, but when Randy said it, my ears perked up. Also along the lines of cabbage cigarettes, when I was a senior in junior high school. Wait, that doesn't make sense. When I was a senior in high school, we did a production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. There was a scene where the orderly is supposed to smoke weed every day. We used Earl Grey tea. Earl Grey tea, that's crazy. Rolled up in a joint, and everyone in the audience thought he was really smoking weed because it smells so much like it. Smoke Earl Grey tea every day. Star Trek connection. Loves Film Sack. Keep up the great work.
Fascinating. I would have never thought of Earl Grey tea.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's interesting that it would smell like it, though, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I can't imagine that it would smell. Right, exactly.
I mean,
Picard smells like pot all the time.
But tea is just another herb, I guess, and I guess herbs all have a common, probably some common horticultural something going on, so they probably all smell similar. Interesting.
Captain, what have you been doing in your ready room? Just drinking out great tea.
Get out of here.
Get out of my ready room, you piece of shit.
I love your Picard, really. I could watch a whole Star Trek episode with Brian doing Picard. I don't know what our next movie is. Oh, no, I do. It's not a movie. It's a commentary track because we're going to be at BlizzCon next week. So the episode, it's going to be an episode of Knight Rider. Brian Dunaway.
Is Knight Rider on Netflix?
It is.
Oh, God. I hope so.
We better make sure.
I don't know. I'm not seeing
Knight I'm going to look real quick. Right. It was before a while
I'm
ago.
I'm seeing the A-Team and Airwolf, MacGyver.
Oh, it's Mercy. Not. It's unavailable for streaming. It was, but it isn't now. So instead, we're going to do another thing. We don't know what yet.
Okay.
Let's do a commentary track for Kung Fury.
Oh yeah.
That actually might be hard.
I'd be too busy watching it. Right? I'd be too busy watching it. I'd be going, what's going on now?
Yeah, that's some good point.
It's the wrong kind of thing for a film sack.
We should do an Andy Griffith.
How about an Airwolf?
Andy Griffith.
Let's watch Airwolf. I want to watch an Airwolf.
We'll watch an Airwolf. We'll find a real bad one, and we'll let you know next week at the top of the show what it is. So you can pause, cue it up, because it's all about that anyway. You don't.
We'll
need
find
to
a real bad one by rolling a random number.
Right. Yeah, it'll be fun. By the way, I have an interesting point to make, and I just want to say this. I know that Netflix scored a pretty good deal with Disney to get a bunch of their content, and one of the things they just added is all of their short films. Pixar, Disney, and otherwise, and it looks pretty awesome. So I'm going to recommend people go check that out. All right, I think that's going to do it for us. We've gone long, but that's okay. We like the show, and we like bringing it to you. Our website is filmsack.com. Go there. Comment on the forum or the blog thing. Do all that stuff. We love it. Voicemails come to us at 801-471-0462. There's a larger conversation just starting to happen on our subreddit at frogpants.reddit.com. A lot of FilmSack stuff happening there, so go talk to us there. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at FilmSack. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. And we are now on that new Google directory for Google Play. So if you're looking for us there, we are there. This is going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Happy Halloween.
Wolfman's got nards.
I'm going to shit. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.